Yeah, exactly. Ask not what snowmass can do for you. Ask what you can do for snowmass. So just to give some context, the Department of Energy, in its wisdom, has divided particle physics into three frontiers. The energy frontier, the cosmic frontier, and the intensity frontier. I've just sort of mentioned a few things included in these other places that we would be potentially interested in. I'm just going to talk about the Higgs component of the energy frontier, although there is a lot of overlap with both precision electroweak and BSM, as you can imagine. But this is kind of our mission. The snowmass planning process was initiated not by the funding agencies, actually, but by the DPF division of APS. In anticipation of the need for community input to the funding agencies, presumably, which will come shortly thereafter. There's a web page for organizational purposes for the snowmass effort as a whole. And the charge of the Energy Frontier Group is basically what you would expect. Look at where we are in the major areas of particle physics relevant for high energy accelerators, okay? And then look at what the motivations are for possible future frontier accelerators that may complement the LHC program. Okay, and the two people in charge of this are Chip Brock and Mike Peskin, and they sort of populated these, I guess that's not a pointer, these other subgroups with people to sort of try and coordinate the work of this process. So our charge is, in short form, to summarize the current Higgs knowledge, including studies, so knowledge meaning actual experimental measurements, but also simulations for like all the ILC studies of how well you can measure Higgs couplings and things like that, including extra Higgs states like MSSM Higgs states, doubly charged Higgs, these things that have been looked at. Determine the theoretical motivations to explore the Higgs properties to high precision. What do we learn given a certain uncertainty on this or that coupling? And on the experimental side, to basically organize simulations to fill in gaps in our knowledge for the capabilities of future accelerators. So there's always more work to be done in this regard. The high luminosity LHC, for example, is an area in which very little up to now has actually been shown publicly. Okay, and there's six conveners. Two of us are here, Jian Ming and I, and basically we're sort of trying to, you know, cause things to happen with varying amounts of success. So we're planning a meeting just of the Higgs Working Group at Princeton in middle of January. I'll say a little bit more of that on the following slide. And then there's a series of meetings, both for theory and for the whole Energy Frontier group. And then the actual, quote, snowmass, unquote, will not actually be in Colorado. It'll be end of July, beginning of August in Minneapolis. And the idea is that this is not very long. This is like 10 days. The bulk of the work has to be done before then. Essentially, I mean, work will continue after then, obviously, but for this snowmass process, the work is going to happen all through here, and then the real potential value of that meeting will be to get interaction between these different frontier groups. So the energy frontier people need to talk to the intensity frontier people, need to talk to the cosmic dark matter people, in order to actually have some sense of the global priorities of the field, right? So how this is actually going to happen, we're not entirely sure. I think no one is entirely sure, but all we can do is our best, essentially, to interact before this sort of end of the line in August, okay? So That was an accident. essentially because January was sort of the latest that we could get away with having an actual meeting. And I think they all just piled up because of that. Yeah, no, that was definitely not intentional. Sorry? To get things moving, really. Yeah, I mean, if we waited till March or April or so, there's already very little time. From the point of view of experimentalists doing simulations, there's already not a lot of time, right? Because they have to generate events and everything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it depends on what's being done, right? If it's one guy on his desktop running NatGraph and PGS, that can happen at any time.
Yeah.
But if you want something that's coming out of the experiment, something that's a little bit more solid, and something which may have a life beyond SnowMass, which I think it's easier to get an experimenter motivated if it's got some legs to it. It's got to get into the hopper. Basically, as soon as the Morion job is finished, these jobs have to start.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there was some argument to even meet earlier, but we just couldn't get it together in time.
It's
so,
like the
yeah.
January is both the earliest and the latest possible time we could meet, and that's why everything ended up clustering.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is a regrettable situation, but I think. We had a lot of restrictions. So I encourage people to sign up for the mailing list. If you go to this website, the other page, this website, there is a full list of mailing groups for all of the subgroups of the Energy Frontier and instructions on how to join them. So whatever you want to join, go ahead and join it. There's not a whole lot of traffic on these lists, so it's not sort of going to increase your amount of spam. All right, so our plan for this workshop at Princeton is basically what you would expect, to summarize current status and reports on studies, report on studies in progress or planned for the LHC, so from the experiments, both the LHC experiments and also the ILC community. And also, to some extent, there's not just the LHC and the ILC. There's the high luminosity upgrade of the LHC, the high energy upgrade of the LHC that people are discussing. There's discussion of a ring-shaped E plus E minus collider at 240 GeV. There's also photon collider and farther into the future muon collider that are being studied as part of this process that we hope to have reports on all of them, as well as theory. And the purpose of this really is to find out what's done and what's planned, and then also to stimulate a lot of discussion to identify the gaps in the theoretical and experimental studies. So the primary purpose of this meeting is to motivate more work and determine, you know, what else should be done and what do we need to compute from the theory side. I'll say another thing about this in a second. So we do plan to have remote access available, the type to be determined. As some people probably know, Evo is becoming a commercial product, and I've heard that the CERN experiments have declined to subscribe to the new commercialized version. So there's an in-house, well, I guess it's not in-house, there's a different commercial video conferencing product called Video that CERN has been experimenting with, which I have not yet managed to successfully install on my computer. But we do plan to have some remote access, but as yet to be determined.
If you want to get yeah. Away,
you should start installing it now. I see. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So this is the last slide that I prepared, and I hope that we can have some discussion. So the question, there's various questions that we've thought of up till now that have not been answered. One of them is, so you know, you have various studies for how well can you measure, say, Higgs to BB bar branching ratio at 500 GeV plus and minus collider with 500 inverse femtobarns with one inverse attobarn. Okay. similarly, with a high luminosity LHC, you get more and more statistics. At some point, you're going to hit a floor of systematics or perhaps uncontrolled backgrounds. And the question, I think, is still open. What are the ultimate floors for each of these types of technologies? Because you could always say, oh, we'll run for another 5 years and double the data set, or 10 times the data set. But at some point, you run into a wall. And we want to know where those walls are. Okay. The second kind of partner question to this is, what precision is needed to draw useful conclusions in various theoretical contexts? So that starts from, you know, deviations of order one and then goes down. But you know, one can evaluate, okay, given certain scenarios of no Suzy partners observed at LHC up till now, okay, what are the predicted largest size deviations in Higgs couplings possible in a given Suzy model given that fact, okay? So then that tells you how precisely you'd have to measure them in order to be able to draw a useful conclusion about that model of new physics. So because of the separation between Higgs and BSM, we're sort of implicitly not combining that information at this stage, although that will, you know, ultimately that's what you want to do, is combine everything. But this is sort of what's manageable at this point. So given that, what luminosities or machines do we need to make a convincing discovery of new physics in the Higgs sector in various theoretical scenarios? And this is also something that it's a simple exercise, but I don't think it's entirely been done. If you predict a 5% deviation in some Higgs coupling, really you want to measure that to 1% so that you see a 5 sigma deviation, so that you're not in the land of 2.5 sigma forever. Okay, and in addition to seeing, you know, one coupling deviating from the standard model, you want to measure correlation. So you want to see, okay, BB bar is high, tau tau is low. What could that possibly be? And identify the new physics through those correlations. And this implies, you know, wish lists from the theorists to the experimentalists for precisions of measurements. So answering this question requires a lot of theory or model input, but this is sort of, you know, a question that can be answered. And then finally, are there any interesting Higgs observables that have not yet been studied in these experimental simulations, like, for example, double Higgs production with new physics in, say, at the LHC, new physics in the top loop, or TT bar Higgs dimension 5 coupling, or these sorts of things. So I guess at that point we should go to discussion. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, beginning of September next year, that's the whole night by
ECFA.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Supposedly we get off September. 2 days, 5 days.
ECFA is the European Committee on Future Accelerators. Yeah. I guess that kind of underlines the point that Snowmass is not the end of this. Europe is making their own evaluations. I'm sure Asia is making their own evaluations as well. And okay. So in the Hadron Collider side, I know that the high luminosity upgrade of the LHC is probably the closest to being on shell, right? But this is something that's not fully approved. And yes, exactly. That's the most on-shell thing. Yeah. Yeah. But still, it goes down from there. Yeah, exactly. But still, I think, I mean, the reason for having a high luminosity LHC workshop in the first place is because you need this. The physics case for this machine still needs to be made. So high luminosity LHC is one. The Higgs cross-section working group were asked by CERN, I guess, this past fall to generate Higgs cross-section just central values for, I want to say, 20, 30, 50, and 100 GeV center of mass energy, something like that, okay, in order to be able to evaluate the impact of an energy upgrade as well. This is TeV, center of mass energy, proton-proton. A 100 would have to be a new ring, yeah. Tripling the energy, my understanding is that they have to replace all the magnets with something that is a technology that is not industrialized yet.
Right.
So that's a significantly... Yes.
Niobium-310 magnets, which is the next technology on the horizon, would triple the energy, and we need 10,000 magnets, and we've succeeded in building one. So that gives you an idea of where we are on the magnet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything beyond that is either involves digging or waiting. But I think it's still worth asking the question, pushing it very far forward. You know, is 100 any better than 50? And the answer may be no.
Right. TeV.
Right.
It depends which physics you're going after. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And the trade-off between energy and luminosity, and people can.
Yeah. So the right machine for 10 TeV SUSY partners may be the wrong machine for Higgs studies, which is certainly possible. And this is something that hopefully we start to learn in this process.
So really, winnow down the sort of experiment or bewildering range of possibilities of the physics you're looking for. I mean, if right now we're all excited about the first Higgs and its properties. But Rory will tell me that there are minimum of four other Higgs out there.
But they're all too heavy.
That's right.
Too heavy for kind of machine.
Yeah.
Under TeV machine, they might be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently, the question of whether a 100 TeV machine might destroy the world is also still open, because the cosmic ray spectrum falls too quickly to be able to use the existence of the moon as a. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we can worry about that later. So the other machines, so ILC at 250, 500, and 1 TeV are being considered. That's sort of the energies where there's simulations. There's also a new proposal, variously called LEP3 by the CERN people and Super Tristan by the Japanese, which would be a 240 GeV E plus E minus, well, the CERN version, 240 GeV E plus E minus ring in the LEP tunnel. Yeah. So one potential scenario is if you do go to a high energy LHC within the same tunnel, during the time when you're building all those magnets, maybe you put in an E plus E minus ring and do Higgs at 240 GeV is the Higgs associated production during that interval.
That's not a topic, it's
the financial frontier. Yeah. No, this is an issue. Yeah.
You're not including, distance from the real axis, so to speak. I mean, the Japanese government is willing to put a substantial amount of money into that. And if that's not taken into account, I think people are wasting their time.
You mean into ILC?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry?
That's true. Yeah.
Even if it could do it better, if it could do it better and no one's willing to pay for it, then no one's willing to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't do TT bar. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At some point, you have to inject a little bit of reality in comparing
things. I think this is meant to be built in, right? The physics, until we answer the, I mean, we have two choices.
We lost the SSC because people, among other reasons, people were not willing to de-scope.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, people said, well, if you de-scope, you lose the ability to do this, that, and the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
That turned out to be the wrong argument.
Mm-hmm.
And if we make the same wrong argument again, we're going to screw ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. But better to know. I think it's the latter. I think it's the latter. Yeah, yeah. So physics potential is not there yet for a lot of these questions. And, yeah. We're not making any suggestions, no.
And that's why, at least the marking order I got was, yeah, but I consider everything on the table.
Yeah.
Which is almost a guarantee to get nothing.
That may be true.
Arguing that a 2 TeV clip or a 3 TeV clip is the right next step mm-hmm. is probably not going to attract as many people who are asked the question, how long do we run a high luminosity LHC before we clear that tunnel and put something else in?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think much closer to the match up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the real answers that's coming out is we know a higher luminosity LHC will happen in the future.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the questions that really can influence that are how high luminosity do you need to go?
Mm-hmm.
And the related question, when do you stop?
Right. When do you hit the floor on various things? Yeah. And then, once you know how well those measurements would be done, is it worth building machine Y, right? How much do you gain from that, right? How big a next step do you really need to make in order for it to pay off?
I like the idea of the supercrystal. However, I mm-hmm. fear that by the time the LHC has built TP for what it's worth, that machine's
maybe obsolete. Yeah.
Probably be small.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, we should probably have built that machine 10 years ago, but given where we are, we can't fix that.
We can't. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that question is more likely,
So the question is, I don't know if it's from theory point of view, I'm not sure there's a very, invariant answer.
I think it's when you become systematics dominated. That's one of the things we're hopefully going to produce.
Same flavor letdowns, people are saying, let's put these aside for another day. And the other thing that we have is heavy ion mining. I know we're keeping all that now. But there's not something as good as imagining 200 collisions in your detector as actually having 200 collisions in your detector. So people are looking at the heavy ions as a good proxy for what the very high luminosity is.
Hmm. interesting, actually.
So the assumption, I think, is the finding that we're given is we see 140 pi output for this version. Right now, our
net construction is what is the change in velocity?
For the high Lumi?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I think the standard number is 3,000.
So you're seeing 20 a year, so that's 140 a year.
That's it?
There's a good rule of thumb, right? The number of pileup events that you see is the number of femtobarns per year you're going to get.
But that implies it's going to take. But that's for the higher energy current LHC running. Is that right? I mean, if we want 300 inverse femtobarns at 13 TeV, that's...
300 a year is 145.
Oh, 300 a year. Ah, okay. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So 3,000 will be 10 years
plus. Yeah, okay.
You're going to be expecting 300 events.
And according to maybe the law breaks down at some point.
Well, that number is 13 years.
Oh, yeah. So you get that factor of two. Yeah.
But yeah, the experiments can probably handle a order 100 with some upgrades and 140, but they cannot handle 1,000 with any reasonable upgrades.
Is there not going to be 1,000 at a high loss in the LHC?
I hope not.
You're talking about series of vector upgrades.
Okay.
Yeah, not hundreds of millions to upgrade, a bigger number than that.
I think the technology is there, though. I mean, you spend enough money.
The technology is never there until you put it out on the floor.
But there are ideas that you could handle 1,000 events.
I think there are many series to be checked out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult problem, but it's not like unifying gravity. this one, it can be brute forced. I think that's the answer. I don't think we know how to do it elegantly, but just to go nuts with deep pipelines and the like, there's things people can do.
So I think the basic thing is that you would have a much better segmentation with your path oscillator to replace whole tracking.
Yeah,
with the hiding up.
And maybe diamond. I mean that's the sort of crystalline carbon.
Yeah.
Never to be referred to as diamond. the phrase that I've got is cost comparable to the original construction cost of the experiments.
That's a lot.
So
this is something that the physics case needs to be there. Yeah. Hang on, let Scott say something. So it's not, it's not as simple as just like turning the faucet, on the accelerator. This is a major upgrade, even the most on-shell upgrade. Yeah. I should just add, so the other colliders on the table are Click, and which I haven't heard anything about really in the context of Higgs lately. But
Click cannot do Higgs effectively. It cannot go down.
Oh no, not but for like VBF. Production and stuff like that, because you just get a zillion Higgses that way. Photon collider, and muon collider.
Oh, muon.
Yeah.
Right. There's a collider on the shell for reasons. But I think it may be one of the logically possible outcomes is that there's not a linear machine between the end of the hadron machine and the muon collider. I don't think that's really the answer, but it's not unimaginable.
I hope it's not.
hiring us, they upgrade for mm-hmm. to see it's gonna happen, but US support for that is not gonna keep.
Well, when you say that the U.S. won't support the upgrade, that's under the assumption it doesn't become an associate member. So, right?
That, I don't know, that depends on this country. If the U.S. decides to support the vehicle, I think that's not enough money.
So, this
letter
gets back to how we point. When you do your huge table of machines versus, you know, physics capabilities, you do need to take some sense of reality in there to push forward the P5 so that they know what to look at seriously.
You mean in terms of cost and feasibility?
Well, not cost, but physics capabilities. Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think this is the primary purpose, is to see what machine can do what, and what do we need, and what do we want, and how hard it is to achieve this actual technology. Exactly, yeah. No, this is definitely a question. Yeah.
But that money is saying not only for that money for INC, right?
They might put it into Click. Yeah.
Well, but I think in addition,
there's a big argument that says, a definite argument that says that something like Click or ILC will do a better job than
a high luminosity.
Well, Jack, I think there's a third component to that decision. Is in addition to ILC and high luminosity LSC, we should also ask if there just a 33 TeV LSC can achieve more than just high luminosity LSC.
Yeah, because in that case, you start doing that 10 years earlier, I guess.
Right, so the question is,
sorry?
Then they
can. Yeah, it's not there. But the same is true about Click.
Right, so I think
in
my mind, there's at least these three different options to be weighed.
Yeah. It's not on the same comparison as ILC or high luminosity. Yeah, I think so. Well, it might be comparable to ILC in the sense of cost. It might be on the same category as ILC in the sense of cost.
What's the cost of the 33 TeV?
I don't know. Does anybody know?
Nobody knows.
Yes.
They also have a lot of niobium.
They make it, they measure the field, and then they use ordinary niobium-titanium technology to move from the magnet that they actually built to the magnet that they want, one magnet at a time. So this costs millions per magnet. It's all labor. And it's not cheap labor, right? It's PhD labor. So you can't...
PhD labor.
So you have to have a PhD in the right field.
Imagine trying to predict the Tevatron before Alvin Toffler got in the game and figured out how to industrialize magnet production. You just couldn't do it.
Mm.
So where was this magnet made? This one magnet?
I don't know. It's at CERN now, but I don't know where it was. Where it was going.
You need to predict the scale of new physics or to build the next hadron collider. And you can do it without the self-coupling and without the top coupling, and 240 GeV would be fine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So is it 1%? Is it 2%?
I think it depends on the new physics, but this is exactly the question that we want to... Yeah. Right. I mean, it's a theory question and an experiment question that go together.
No, but I think the fourth question of higher dimension operators and how to figure out the scale is really just, I mean, the question you asked right there.
Mm-hmm.
Can we take some imagine asymptotic limits from the LHC to 10% on deviation from the standard model?
Yeah.
We're going to do about that. Well, we're convinced that we're seeing it. And
it depends how big the deviations are.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think this is what a bunch of us need to do in the next
Some
6 months.
Never agree on who it is.
It's a model dependent question, but if we do it for a large number of models, we can get a sample. Yeah. I'll give them a minute. So I guess this is a question that needs to be answered by people with nice simulations for the LHC detectors. Can we realistically say how what's the maximum, what's the best precision the LHC can do on this full range of things?
I think for LHC, because this hydrogen must be workshop, there will be simulation done for that.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, this is necessary. If you want to know how well the high luminosity can do, first you want to know how well the plain LHC can do. Well, yes, and all of the above. Right.
Yeah, and you know, I love my technical Nice simulations are nice, but they're not necessary, right? PGX does. I don't want John to hear.
I'm not hearing
PGX does a really good job.
Okay. He said PGS does a really good job. Okay.
And yes, it doesn't do as good a job as a full detector simulation, digitization, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Given a choice between one simulation run through the experiments thing and 10 simulations run through PGS, you'll probably learn more with the 10 simulations run through PGS.
But will you learn enough to know, I mean, yeah.
And we won't know the answer to that. It's more the build it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So the big question is, how do we do GPS? Do we have hybrid buses?
Oh, what are we
going to
do?
Right.
Yeah. So there's a lot of work to be done on both the experimental and the theoretical sides, I think. Excellent. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think the good thing about this is that this is exactly the work that everybody wants to be doing anyway. Right? So it's, yeah. The time scale is short. You mean for the experimental simulations? Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think we do what we do, and you know, August isn't the end. It's.
I mean, if this is actually leaning toward something that somebody's going to build,
mm-hmm.
there's plenty of time to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and even for the high luminosity LHC, I mean, this is the start of a long process,
yeah.
And those simulations will have to be done one way or another.
I think the useful question is, from my point of view, when do I stop? When do I say, look, I've milked what I'm going to do with this detector?
Yeah.
Whether the energy frontier has something new for me to jump to,
mm-hmm.
I'll either do that or go measure G-2. But once you're completely I think that's, at a certain point, the odds of learning anything new go way down, and it's time to move on and say, all right, yes, I would have preferred to do this rather than that, but what's on the table?
Mm-hmm,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, another factor, anyone remember, European strategy, some council is supposed to make a statement, I think, before Snowmass in May.
Okay.
Right? It's March, I think. It's March, yeah. A statement of what sort about the future for European forward is highly predictable.
They have a meeting in January in Erich.
Mm-hmm.
I see. So that may,
that's certainly, yeah. Dead silence. No. Yeah. Maybe I'll ask again the last question. Does anyone have a Higgs observable that they would love to have measured that people aren't thinking about measuring?
But it tests whether or not the factorization that you expect from a single case being present versus several cases that are not resolved being present. You can find quite a lot of luminosity to get these to sufficient precision.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. One that I'm seeing in papers more and more often is double Higgs production, okay, in gluon fusion, but with modifications caused not by the triple Higgs coupling, but by something else, by either new stuff in the loop or TT bar Higgs Higgs dimension 5 coupling or that sort of thing. So that's, you can get enhancements. Sorry? Yeah, but if they're not too heavy, I think Sally had a paper on that in the past couple of months. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else we should discuss? Any questions about Minneapolis mass? So I think there's still a lot of procedural questions about how this is all going to work, which I don't know the answers to. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. There's the big problem of lab people and travel as well. I guess getting remote access to all these meetings is really important in that context then. Sorry?
Discussing over remote is always difficult.
It's difficult, yeah, yeah. You just email your question to one of the organizers. Yeah. Okay. I think we're. I just learned about this yesterday, so I know nothing about it.
Yes. Yeah. So this is within our workshop, sorry, program that we have here on the KHP. And so it's mainly organized by Michael and your house.
Excellent. Okay. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah, this could be extremely valuable, especially for that the question of the linkage between how big a deviation in this do you want to see, and then you know to go look for such and such at a higher scale. Because that's, so Chris Tully is the main, well, we're all organizing it, but Chris is actually local there. So yeah, this is the conveners. Do you mean the organizers? It's just us, basically. Yeah. And if I have internet, actually, I can pull up the web page of that. I do have internet. Let's see. No. Yeah. So the idea is, let me just put it into showing the talks. Not all of the talks are filled in yet, but the idea is, and not all of the names are filled in. Okay, we don't have people necessarily for all of these things, but the idea is basically, let me go back to this. The idea is basically it's a two-day thing. The first day, sorry for scrolling. We've broken things down sort of by broad category. Some of these are longer term than others, and then some of these are really to do with getting studies going, basically, right? The getting simulation tools and figuring out how to model, like what to use to model. Say, if you want to do E plus E minus circular, the main differences there are Beamstrahlung and I think basically Beamstrahlung. Polarization, yeah. You can't do as good. I think you lose. Yeah. It may be subtle. They may be able to do something with the E minus. I'm not sure. But anyway, yeah, so this is sort of more technical. Multi-Higgs models is the other states, right? So like MSSM, heavy Higgs, and stuff like that. Higgs factory, I think the idea there is...
Nothing there.
Oh, there's nothing there? Yeah, okay, I'll just wait. And then this is this idea of where the floors are, basically. What's the ultimate physics reach of different technologies? And then we want to try and have some discussion about what the heck we're trying to do. So, yeah. We have a talk already from Tao Han about muon collider. line shape.
That famous joke, muon collider?
No. What?
It's a tribute to Carlos and Human. It's a... what I call a serious joke. Okay, it goes like this. You spend $10 billion building a muon collider, and you know it's ready to go, everybody in the control room, you hit the start button, and nothing happens. Then you know that you spend $10 billion measuring what topic it is, which is zero.
You'd still be able to do mu plus mu minus Z Higgs.
But the main advantage of muon collider is
it's the on-shell,
but you never directly measure the coupling.
But you this may be an argument for the high luminosity LHC.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But whether the decision would be, you know, there is enough time for that to happen before you have to make that decision.
Yes.
But I think it's a serious criticism that if we want to build a muon collider, we need to be able to...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Damn sure that it's 125 in couples to muon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that too, but that's the technical side, but on the physics side.
Yeah, but the thing is, that's going to take a while.
Yeah.
This question doesn't have to be
answered.
Oh, of course.
No. This may be a question for, 2100. Okay.
Come to the meeting.
Yeah. or phone in or whatever we figure out to do. Yeah. Or more important, do some analyses and write some papers. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. thank Heather and Johnny.